لا، يسرنا أن نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ عبد الله بن صفيق الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى في هذا الدرس الأسبوعي في شرح رسالة توبيخ الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. تفضل الشيخ. مشكورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، اللهم علمنا ما جهلنا، ووفقنا للعمل بما علمنا، وارزقنا العلم النافع والعمل الصالح، وثبتنا على الإسلام والسنة حتى نلقاك يا رب العالمين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى في سياق بيان الهجرة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، الهجرة إلى الله وإلى رسوله، فقال رحمه الله: وهاتان الكلمتان وهما ما يسأل عنهما الأولون والآخرون، ماذا كنتم تعبدون وماذا أجبتم المرسلين، هما مضمون الشهادتين. وقد قال الله تعالى: فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. فالله سبحانه وتعالى نفى الإيمان عمن لا يتحاكم إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن التحاكم إليه هو مقتضى شهادة أن محمد رسول الله. فأقسم سبحانه بأجل مقسم به وهو نفسه عز وجل على أنهم لا يثبت لهم الإيمان ولا يكونون من أهله حتى يحكموا رسوله في جميع موارد النزاع، وهو كل ما شجر بينهم من مسائل النزاع في جميع أبواب الدين، في أمور الاعتقاد، وفي أمور العبادات، وفي أمور المعاملات، وفي السلوك والأخلاق، وفي المنهج والدعوة إلى الله. فإن لفظة ما من صيغ العموم، فإنها موصولة تقتضي نفي الإيمان إذا لم يوجد تحكيمه في جميع ما شجر بينهم. فهذه قاعدة إيمانية شرعية، لا نجاة للعبد إلا بأن يحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما أنه لا نجاة له إلا أن يعبد الله، كذلك لا نجاة له إلا بأن يحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولم يقتصر على هذا، حتى ضم إليه انشراح صدورهم بحكمه، حيث لا يجد في أنفسهم حرجا وهو الضيق والحصر من حكمه، وهذا مقتضى الإيمان، وعكسه من النفاق، فإن الذي لا ينشرح صدره لحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه لم يؤمن به حق الإيمان، بل يتلقى حكمه بالانشراح ويقابلوه بالقبول، لا أنهم يأخذونه على إغماض ويشربونه على أقذاء، أي يأخذونه بانشراح صدر حكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، يأخذونه على انشراح لا على إغماض، ولا يشربونه على أقداء، فإن هذا مناف للإيمان، بل لا بد أن يكون أخذه أي حكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بقبول ورضا وانشراح صدر. ثم قال رحمه الله: ومتى أراد العبد أن يعلم منزلته من هذا فلينظر في حاله وليطالع قلبه عند ورود حكمه أي حكم رسول الله على خلاف هواه وغرضه، أو على خلاف ما قلد فيه أسلافه من المسائل الكبار وما دونها، بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره. قس نفسك وانظر إلى قلبك وانشراح صدرك، فإن رضيت بحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن هذا دلالة على صحة الإيمان وعلى صدق الإيمان والاتباع لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما إذا وجد ضيقا في قلبه وحرجا في صدره من حكم رسول الله وتضايق من ذلك ولم يرضى بحكم رسول الله فهذا دلالة الانسلاخ من الإيمان والانحراف عن الاتباع. فسبحان كم من حزازة في قلوب كثير من الناس من كثير من النصوص وبودهم أن لو لم ترد، وهذا هو النفاق والعياذ بالله. الواجب على المسلم أن ينقاد بقلبه وجوارحه وعقله وفكره وسمعه وبصره لحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن أولا هذا هو مقتضى الإيمان، وثانيا هو مقتضى العقل، فلا أحد أعلم وأرحم بالعباد من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا أحد أعلم بما يصلحهم إلا بما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا في عقائدهم ولا في دنياهم ولا في معاشهم ولا في أنظمة حياتهم. ولهذا كان من الدين والعقل والفطرة وسلامة ذلك أن يستسلم العبد لحكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا يعارض حكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بهوى نفسه وعقله وتقليده. وكم من حرارة في أكبادهم منها، أي من هذه النصوص التي تعاكس أهواءهم، وكم من شجن في حلوقهم من موردها، فتبدو لهم تلك السرائر بالذي يسوء ويخزي يوم تبلى السرائر. ثم قال: ثم لم يقتصر سبحانه على ذلك حتى ضم إليه قوله: ويسلم تسليما. يسلم لأمر الله، يسلم لأمر رسول الله تسليما لا معارضة فيه أبدا. فذكر الفعل مؤكدا له بمصدره القائم مقام ذكره مرتين: ويسلم تسليما، وهو الخضوع له أي لحكم رسول الله، والانقياد لما حكم به طوعا ورضا وتسليما لا قهرا ومصابرة، كما يسلم المقهور لمن قهره كرها، بل تسليم عبد محب مطيع لمولاه وسيده الذي هو أحب شيء إليه، يعلم أن سعادته وفلاحه في تسليمه إليه، ويعلم بأنه أولى به من نفسه وأبر به منها وأرحم به منها وأنصح له منها وأعلم بمصالحه منها وأقدر على تحصيلها. فمتى علم العبد هذا من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم استسلم له وسلم إليه، وانقادت كل درة من قلبه إليه، ورأى أنه لا سعادة له إلا بهذا التسليم والانقياد لما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالموفق من دان لله بالتوحيد ودان للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بالحكم والاتباع وسلم لأمره تسليما، وهذا هو سبيل السعادة والفوز والنجاح والفلاح، أن يعتقد العبد هذا الاعتقاد وأن يسلم لحكم رسول الله، فهو أعلم بمصالحنا من أنفسنا وأرحم بنا من أنفسنا وأبر بنا من نفوسنا، فوجب أن نعتقد هذا الاعتقاد وأن نسلم لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن نجعله أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ووالدينا وأولادنا، ونسأل الله أن يثبتنا على سنته وأن يحشرنا في زمرته وأن يجعلنا معه في جنات النعيم في الفردوس الأعلى، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
السلام عليكم، بارك فيكم ونفع الله بما قلتكم يا شيخ.
آمين وإياكم، يا مرحبا بكم، حياكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله يبارك فيك، ربنا يصلحك وفيك، حفظك الله تعالى. إذن فيك كتاب سيدنا سبحانه وتعالى من دوت المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم، and making dua to Allah that He teaches us that which we are ignorant of and grants us tawfiq to implement that which we have learned, that He grants us firmness upon Islam and Sunnah until we meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly He is all-knowing and all-wise. He then quoted the two verses which explain to us our responsibility in life. They are talking about the questions that people will be asked in the afterlife. ماذا كنتم تعبدون? What is it that you used to worship? This is why we're here to worship Allah. And ماذا أجبت المرسلين? What was your response to the messengers? So our responsibility to sing Allah with worship and do so by following divine guidance given to us by the messengers. This is the path to success in this life. And Allah Azza wa Jal talks about this in the ayah where He says, and negates iman for whoever does not accept the ruling of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, and we are covering the same part of the chapter as was covered last week, and as the saying says, sallallahu alayhi wa repetition there is benefit. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said these two statements are what is meant by the two shahadas. That is, how are we responding to the call to worship Allah and how do we respond to the call of the messengers? And he quoted the statement of Allah, the exalted fara wa rabbika la yu'minun. Nay, by your Lord, they do not truly believe. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ until they make you, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the judge in that which they have disputed about. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ then they find within themselves no discomfort whatsoever with what you have judged, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا and they submit with a complete submission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the most noble thing that can possibly be sworn by, which is His self, Azza wa Jalla, that no one has iman, and they will not be from the people of iman, until they make His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judge in their affairs and everything which they dispute about. And this includes everything that people have any disagreement about, in any aspect of the religion. Because when Allah Azza wa Jalla uses the word ma, whatever, this is a word which is general and in the context of negation. So therefore it includes everything. And so it means that until people make the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam the judge in absolutely everything that they differ about, then they will not deserve the title of iman. So this is the responsibility, as the Shaykh Rahimahullah, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, explaining, saying this is the responsibility that we have towards the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and until and unless we take this approach with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will not truly have testified to him being the Messenger of Allah until we make him the judge in our affairs, everything which we dispute about. And this includes every disagreement that we may have, whether it's in the affairs of aqidah, in the affairs of ibadah, in the affairs of the transactions that we have with one another, in our behavior and the way that we carry ourselves, in manhaj, and in the da'wah to Allah. All of this is included under what the Messenger of Allah has taught us and what we must refer back to when these natural differences occur. And this is a principle, a general principle that we have in the deen, that the servant will not have salvation except by submitting to the judgment of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as no one will have salvation except by singling out Allah with worship. And what Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in this ayah, the aforementioned ayah, in Surah An-Nisa, فَرَعَ رَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, may by your Lord certainly they do not believe. He mentions in this ayah that we must refer our disputes back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not only say that we must accept the judgment of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that we must do so willingly and with no discomfort. So even if a person accepted what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it was against their own desires, but they did so unwillingly, and they were uncomfortable with that judgment, they would not be from the people of Iman. So he says, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, until and unless we both accept what the Messenger has judged with, and we do so without any discomfort whatsoever, we are happy to accept his judgment, then we will not be from the people of Iman. Our taking the judgment of the Messenger should be with a happy attitude, not like the person who kind of squints his eyes because he's drinking something and there's a piece of dirt in the drink and he wants to ignore it. We should take it happily. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala goes on to say, whenever the servant wants to know what is his position with this ayah, he wants to evaluate himself, then he should look at his own condition and examine his own heart. When it comes to those things that have been mentioned of the judgment of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that do not agree with his own desires and his own agenda. And if it happens to be from those affairs that differ with what his forefathers have taught and what those to precede him have taught in the major affairs or the minor affairs. And he quotes a statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, "Insanu ala nafsihi basira." Each person is a witness over and knows well about his own self. What a wanfa, even if he puts forth excuses. So if a person is pleased with the judgment of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a sign of him having true iman. And if the person, even if he accepts the judgment of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he were to do so, but he's uncomfortable with it and has some hard feelings towards it, this is a sign of deviating from iman. Al-Qayyim rahimahullah goes on to say, Subhanallah, how much is it that people are burning up in their hearts because of many of the texts that have been mentioned, and they wish that these texts would have never even been revealed. The Shaykh Allah Ta'ala commented in saying it's an obligation upon the Muslim to accept and submit to with his heart, mind, and soul, with his hearing and his vision, to everything that the Messenger has judged with. This is the natural consequence of testifying to him being the Messenger of Allah. And this is what iman makes necessary and what common sense makes necessary, as there is no one who is more merciful towards the creation, then the messenger is Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he is the one who has taught us that which is most merciful to us, towards us, and that which is in our best interest in every aspect of our lives, in our beliefs, in our acts of worship, in laws and judgment, and everything else. And so the believer does not oppose anything that the Messenger of Allah judged with because of inheriting some customs or practices, because of culture, or because of his own personal desires. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah goes on to describe those people who are unpleased with the judgment of the Messenger of Allah, and certain texts that have been mentioned of that which the Messenger of Allah has judged with. He said, it's as if their kidneys are burning up because of some of those texts. And it's as if they have something stuck in their throat they can't swallow because of those being mentioned. And he mentions Allah, a verse of poetry, says that it will become clear to them, those secrets. And that which is bad to them and humiliates them on the day when secrets are exposed. He goes on to say, rahimahullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not simply mention accepting the judgment of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions it and says that وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, that they make the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the judge in their affairs and they submit to it with complete submission. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, he mentions the verse submission, or he mentions the verb submission twice. Once in a present tense verb and a second time as a verbal noun. So this emphasis on the verb here, the submission, it's as if he is mentioning it twice to shine the light on this, and that the attitude of the believer should be complete exception to the judgment of the Messenger of Allah and Sallam. So he should accept what the Messenger of Allah and Sallam judged with, be pleased with it, and submit to it, not like the one who is a captive, one who has been captured, and is only submitting because he has no choice and it's against his will, even though he dislikes his captivity. Rather, he should submit like the slave who loves his lord and master, and he loves him more than absolutely anything or anyone else. And he knows that his happiness, his success, lies in submitting to him. And he knows that he has more right over him, that is, his master has more right over him than he has over himself, and is kinder to him than he is towards himself, more merciful towards him than he is towards himself, looks after his best interest more than he looks after his own best interest, and is more able of gaining and accomplishing that which is in his best interest than he himself is. So when a servant knows this about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of these aforementioned descriptions apply to him, alayhi salatu wa sallam, then he submits to him with a complete submission, with every atom of his heart, and he believes that his own happiness lies in this submission. The Shaykh commented on this final part of the text, saying the person who was granted tawfiq, the one who is truly successful, is the one who considers his deen between him and Allah, tawheed. His relationship with Allah is based on tawheed, and his relationship with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is based upon following and submission. And this is the true path to success. Knowing that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more merciful towards us than we are towards ourselves, kinder towards us than we are towards ourselves. And so we should make him, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who we love more than we love our own parents and children and our own selves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq in submitting to the judgment of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and doing so with the pleasure of the soul and Allah's best.